continuing in Hilchos Nachlois, Halacha Dalet, paragraph Gimel, page 100, right-hand column, two-thirds way down. Kasher Shoma Tfila Saviseinu, that Hashem is going to listen to our Tfila. Kasher Shoma Tfila Saviseinu, just as He listened and accepted the Tfila of our forefathers, V'yichet Shmoy Aleim V'kanal, and He placed His name, He designated them as being His completely, and they are His and He is theirs. That's what gives us the keli. That's what creates the keli into which we can receive the shefa. That shleimus emuna. And how does one get the shleimus emuna? When one speaks about the goodness of Hashem, when one reviews the kindness of Hashem, and that He helped our forefathers in the past, and again, understanding that that was also through tefillah and everything, when one reviews that verbally, that gives the person confidence in Hashem and confidence in himself, that Hashem can do it, and what I'm doing now is exactly what's needed to make it happen. If I go rob a bank or anything, that's not going to make it happen. If I follow the same program that they followed, I'll get all these spectacular things that they got from Hashem. Nimtza. Therefore, we conclude from here, Shesidur Shvachov, Koidem Shilas Tzrochov, that the fact that the Gemara requires us to prepare the praises of Hashem before asking for any requests, Hu Bishvil L'Sakein Hakli Bishleimus L'Kabel HaShefa V'Kanal. That's the means of creating and finishing the keli into which the shefa is going to be placed, creating the emuna and making the emuna sholem. V'alkein b'siyum she'ilas tzrochov misayimim bebirchas shemei atfila. And that's why it's at the end, after we've listed all of our requests for das, for tshuva, for refuah, for parnasa, for freedom, at the end of all the 12 brachas where we list our requests, The conclusion of it is Baruch Ato Hashem Shemei Atfila, Ki Ze Iker Shleimus Atfila, because this is the main Shleimus Atfila. Kishonu Ma'aminin Shehu Shemei Atfilas Kol Peh. When a Jew really believes that Hashem listens to the Tfila of every single person, Shal Yedei Ze Iker Shleimus Hakeli L'Kabel HaShefa V'Kanal. That's what completes, that's what prepares a complete keli into which to receive the shefa. Va'onu mischaskim b'emuna zois. And we strengthen ourselves with this emuna, Shehu Yisporach Shemei Tfila, that Hashem listens to Tfila, Al Yidei Shesidanu Shvachav Yisporach V'Yisale Tchila. By the fact that we first prepared and presented the praises of Hashem. We reviewed all the wonderful things Hashem has done in the past. Shehu elikei avoseinu, v'zocher chasdei avos, umei v'goel. That's what gave us the emuna b'shleimus to be ready to start making requests. Because it's ridiculous to ask somebody, could you put money into my account when you don't have an account? That's silly. So it's ridiculous to ask Hashem to give you things if you don't believe that He can, or you don't believe that your asking can make it happen. So the first thing you got to do is prepare a keli. How do you prepare a keli? Shvochei shel mokoyim. By you actually verbalizing, oidia emunascha befi, the pasuk says in Tehillim, that I state my faith with my mouth. You put your money where your mouth is, put your faith where your mouth is. You know, that if a person says, Hashem, you did this and this for Avram Avinu, and you did this and this for Yitzhak Avinu, and you did this for Yaakov Avinu, and you are goymel chasodim toivim, you love to do kindness, and you are mevi goyel of nevenehem, not just that you helped them 6 million years ago, mevi goyel of nevenehem, you promised that you are going to redeem that, not just their children, their grandchildren, and 4 billion generations afterwards. What if I say that, and I'm listening to what I'm saying, then I suddenly become filled with emuna, and then once I have the emuna, now it's kosher to go ahead and start making requests. Rav Nosson Zal writes now, Avol adayin tzrichin yegiyo va'avoida gedoyla lihiyois chozok be'emuna zois b'shleimus. A person still requires tremendous struggle and effort. It's a major avoida to become strong in this emuna b'shleimus, to be 100% solid in this emuna, lahamin bi'atzmoi, to believe in yourself, sheyesh loy koyach lifoil kol dovor bitfilosoi, that you have the ability to accomplish everything through your tefillah. Kiyesh kamo mine chalishes adas b'lev odom. There's all kinds of different things that knock a person down, that make a person weak and lacking in that self, in that confidence, that destroy the person's confidence. Be'inyin zeh, regarding this item, kasher yodea kol echad bi'atzmoi, as each and every one of us knows, certain things that we've gone through in life and certain feelings that we have, where we're not 100% solid in this. V'roiv b'nei odom nidme lehem shehu ein loy koyach lazeh. The majority of people, it seems to them that they don't have this nuclear power. V'alkein einoy mischazek b'tfila. And that's why they don't really strengthen themselves in tfila. They don't go all out in tfila, because they don't have confidence in tefillah. They don't have confidence in its effectiveness. Whether they think Hashem isn't powerful enough, or they think they're not powerful enough, or the tefillah, whatever it is, there's a lack of confidence in it. The ikar hayegia hu betchila. Rav Nosson Zal says the main effort has to be put in the beginning. Dahainu bo'es shemaschil lehischazek lispal bekavona. When a person is starting, when a person wants to start a set of tefillah bekavona, bibchinas kol hascholos koshos. As the Gemara says, the hardest part is getting started. It's always the getting started that's the hardest part, so that's where the main effort has to be put in. Kios adayin loiro shum pu'ula alidei tefilosoi. Because when a person is first starting in his spiritus, let's say a person just became introduced to Yiddishkeit, to Frumkeit, and they just got introduced to the topic of tefillah in general, or a person just got introduced to Breslev, and his eyes were open that despite that besides Shachris, Mincha, Mariv, and Tehillim, there's this new methodology of speaking to Hashem, new methodology that's a very old methodology of speaking to Hashem in your own language, the language that you're most comfortable in, English, French, whatever it is for each person. This concept of Espiritus, Rav Nosson Zal said, and a person is just getting introduced to that, in the beginning, before you've tried it and succeeded, before you've tried it and seen results, you don't have the emuna yet. You don't have that confidence yet. Avol kishezoiche lezgaber b'chol koichoi lispal b'kavona. Whereas if the person gets it together and puts every iota of effort and concentration, everything he can possibly give into davening with kavona, with real intense concentration and focus, ad shezoiche lifoi lezgaber b'tfilosoi, to the point where he actually succeeds in doing something, affecting a change through his tefillah. Kigoin, for example, shehispalel al eze dover, a person was davening for a particular item, for a shidduch, to get married, or davening for a job, or something, a certain item to happen, or to be zeichet to understand Gemara, a person who doesn't have a Gemara cup, and he's trying to break in, and he's breaking his head for weeks and months and years, not going anywhere, and then suddenly he says, let me try this, let me try tefillah, and he gets it together and starts really begging Hashem, let me into your world, let me into the world of Gemara. V'nene, and his tefillah is answered. Azai hu mischazek boze lahamin gam bi'atzmoi. That gives him tremendous chizuk, tremendous strength to believe in himself. Sheyesh loy koyach lifoil b'tfilosoi, that he has the ability to accomplish with his tefillah. Me'achar sheroyesh shekvar shom Hashem isborah gam tfilosoi. Once he's already seen that Hashem has even listened to his tefillah, v'ne'enan, he was answered. V'oz nase etzloi kli lekabel ha'shefa. And when that self-confidence becomes fortified, then that person has a keli into which to receive more and more shefa. Ki ikar hishavus hakli hualidei hoemuna. Because the most important ingredient in making this keli is emuna. Dainu Alidei Shemamin Gam Biatzmoi Shashem Yisborach Shemea Gam Tfilosoi. Emuna, it's not enough to believe in Hashem. It's not enough to believe in Tzadikim. You must also believe in yourself that Hashem listens to your tefillah. And I've heard this. This is a thing that I've been shown repeatedly, different times when I've seen people call up from America, let's say, asking for tefillahs here in Eretz Yisrael from tzaddikim here. And I've heard, and depending on the person's emuna, depending, let's say, if the person gives money, if a person calls up and says, I have a friend who's got 4 million illnesses, and he's such a good person, a loving person, and a wonderful person, that's not good enough. That's not good enough to call a tzaddik up 6,000 miles away and say, daven for him. Or tell him, get a minion of people together and go to the Kosel, go to the Masampel, and daven for him. Why? Because the person doesn't... You can do it, you can daven, but it won't affect that person. You know why? No keli. No keli. How does a person prepare a keli? To prepare a keli, you have to have emuna. How do you show emuna? One of the simplest ways of showing emuna is with money. Person says, here, I'm giving you $5. Please daven for me for this and this thing. The Torah says... Emuna is called ma'oid. There's a pasuk, Rabbi Elazar quotes in Tehillim, Tziviso tzedek edosecho, ve'emuna ma'oid. And the word ma'oid in Kriya Shema means, ma'odecha means your money. The Zohar Kodesh says, a mitzvah that you don't pay for, there's an expression I think in the Gemara, a doctor that's free is worth nothing, a doctor for nothing is worth nothing. The Zohar Kodesh says in Parshas Truma, a free mitzvah is worth nothing. There's no such thing as a free mitzvah. If it's free, if it's not costing you anything, then it's not worth anything in many cases. So by certain people, the issue, the person, if it's a person who's mekusha to the tzaddik, if it's a person that's close to a tzaddik, and he comes to the tzaddik to ask him to daven, then that person they've proven their emunah through 1,000 other things. They've proven their emunah by going to the tzaddik, by following the will of the tzaddik. The tzaddik told him to do something, they did it. But a person who has no kesher, some guy off the street, who some other guy is coming and saying that this guy is a wonderful guy, please daven for him, he's about to die. The answer is, it's a ridiculous question. It's like the guy showing up at the soda machine saying, can I have a drink? And they say, where's your cup? I don't have a cup. Can I have a drink anyway? And they say, yeah, where should we put it? In your pocket? Where should we pour it? In your pocket? Silly. It's the same thing here. The person must prepare a keli. The keli is emuna. And here Rav Nosson Zal is emphasizing the emuna has to be in Hashem, emuna in tzaddikim, and emuna in yourself. And the emuna in the tzaddik, sometimes that's how a person shows it. Sometimes one of the ways to show emuna in the tzaddik is if the person lets it cost them. And even after that, I've seen, so a person gives $5,000. The tzaddik doesn't tell him, go home, go to sleep, you have nothing to worry about, I'll take care of it. He says, I'll do everything I can, but you should know that Hashem is waiting for your tefillah. As much as, and I can help you, a tzaddik is in a position to help you, to add koichos to it. But if you're a yid, Hashem is, and Hashem sent the problem to you, if Hashem only wanted me to daven, he would have sent the problem to the tzaddik. He would have sent the problem to the tzaddik and the 5,000 to the tzaddik and everything would be cool. How come you're involved in the project? Your involvement is because Hashem is waiting for your tefillah. Your tefillah is the most important one. And I've heard this told to people who are slightly religious, and when they hear it and it's presented that way, it makes sense, and it starts a whole turnaround in the person's emunah in Hashem and in Yiddishkeit, because the person starts, he hears from a tzaddik. He's being told that this tzaddik can... And the tzaddik's telling him, you're important. Me, I'll help you. The tzaddik doesn't say, I'm Superman, watch me. The tzaddik says, I promise you nothing. I don't promise you children, and I don't promise you nothing, because I'm Hashem. It's everything. I promise you that I'll be mispalel. If you give me money to daven and I don't daven, then I'm a thief. How do I put on a talis the next day? How do I put on tefillin the next day? If somebody gave me money and asked me to mispalel for them and I didn't, how could I face Hashem? It's a joke. Elamai, I'll do that. But you have to, Hashem is waiting for your tefillah. And this is who's writing this here? Rav Nosson Zal. Rav Nosson Zal could have wrote, just send your checks to Uman, send your checks to the Tzion, and everything. He's not writing that here. He's talking to every person that's going to read this Sefer, and he's saying, you, I mean you, and it's up to you, and you have to believe in yourself, and that's Shlemus Emuna, and that's the Keli, etc. To be continued. Oisei, v'zeh b'chinas b'choyer, and this is all the concept of a firstborn child. Kimishom nimsha choylodas ha-b'choyer, because it's from the same place that we spoke about that the tefillah is coming from, which is this double-edged sword, this shvochoi shomokim and shilas tzrochov, and from this haschola, this first tefillah, which is most difficult because the person hasn't yet seen any results from the tefillah to give them the confidence to ask, from that same place is where b'chor is coming from. Kikol ha-hoilotois v'chol ha-hashbois ha-koil nimshach rak al-yidei tefillah, because all kinds of birth and all kinds of all kinds of births of children and all kinds of shefa being presented to the world all comes through tefillah. We mentioned once before, Rabbi Elazar says that the word bonim is bigimatria emuna. Bonim is bigimatria emuna, so that choylodas bonim is coming from emuna and tefillah. V'alkein choylodas habchoyer nimshach mebchinas zois. If in general birth comes from the same source, then the bechoyer represents the first tefillah. Mebchinas hapeula rishoina shepoyel ish Yisrael yaidei tefilosoi. The bechoyer is coming from the same place as is the first tefillah of a person that he's davening before he has yet seen any results from his tefillah. Shaydei zeh nischaske emunosei l'spalel tamid, where once the person does see results, that gives him the chizuk to daven regularly. But whereas before that, he doesn't have that chizuk yet. From the same place where that first tefillah is coming from, is the place where the birth of the b'chor is coming from. The chol ha-hoilodos shenim shochim achar kach, all the children that are born after the firstborn, after the b'chor, bekulam yesh bohem chelek me-hoilodas ha-b'chor. All of them have a piece of the birth of the Bechor. All of them are affected and benefit from the firstborn son that's been born, Kemuva Bekisvei HaRizal, as is brought in the writings of the Arizal. The Arizal presents it in a Kabbalistic way, that when the father injects into the mother in order to create that firstborn child, there's a major piece, a major part, the most major part of the father goes into the Bechor. And all the other children receive from the Bechor, like in a sense. They're not even receiving direct from the father anymore. Just like, for example, the Torah says that the only Novi who saw Hashem bas Baklaria HaMeira, really up front, close up, was Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's brought that all other Nevi'im did not receive their Nevuah from Hashem. They received it via Moshe Rabbeinu. So too, all the children that come after the Bechor, what they get from the father, they're not getting direct from the father, but rather they're getting it via the Bechor. This is what the Arizal explains, and explains why. Hainu, shekol hatfilois she'acharkach, regarding our discussion of tefillah, all the subsequent tefillos that come after that first tefillah, she'al yodom kol ha'hoilodos, which are going to cause all kinds of births, kulam yesh bohem chelek mehapu'ula harishoyne shepo'al alidei tefilosoi. In all of them, part of what gave him the confidence and everything to go ahead and daven those tefilos was that first tefillah, that initial energy that he pumped up to give out that first tefillah without sight unseen, where he hasn't seen any proof yet. Some of that first tefillah is in all of his subsequent tefillos. It's as a result of the first tefillah, which hit a home run for him in a sense, that's what gives him the chizuk emuna to daven afterwards. That first tefillah is what created the keli into which shefa can be placed. step one, just like when it comes to a woman with having children. First, you have to create the kli. You have to make her into a keli. Then there can be hoilada. Then there can be shefa. So too in the tefillah. It's that first tefillah which makes the kli that has a chelik in all subsequent tefillahs. Just like the bechor has a chelik in all subsequent births. V'alkein noitel habechor pishnayim. Now we could understand why the Shulchan Aruch says that the Bechor gets a double portion of inheritance, keneged pishnayim sheyesh b'tfilah, corresponding to the two sections of tefillah, shehem sidur shvocho yisborach. Section A is organizing the praises of Hashem, ubakosha tzrochov, and section B is making your requests, kihem bechino achas mamish. Because these two are one and the same, the issue of birth and the tefillah issue. Ki sidur shvachoi koidem shilas tzrochov shehu chizuk emuna kdei lasis akli kanal. Because this concept of first praising Hashem prior to asking for anything, which we said before, that gives the person chizuk emuna in order to create the keli. That's what creates the keli. Iker bechinazois mekabel habchoir shehu bechinas pu'ula harishoina shepoil aideit filosoi. The one who receives that for the most part is the bechoir, who represents that first the results of the first fila. Sheoz hayitzorech lischazek biyoiser lahamin biatzmoi. That's when it was much more difficult for the person to be mechazek himself, to believe in himself. Because the person hasn't yet seen any results from their tefillah. So that's the most difficult part. But subsequently, once the person has already accomplished something with tefillah, then it's much easier for the person to muster up the confidence and the oomph to daven Hashem and to believe in himself, to have confidence in himself, because the person already saw that his tefillah worked. Nimtzo shekol ha'hoilodois v'chol ha'hashpois shenimshochim achar kach bekulam yesh bohem chelik ha'pu'ula harishoina shu'bechinas hoilodos abchur. So therefore, all the pu'ulais that come afterwards, all of them the first one has a chelik in it. Just like lahavdil in business, a salesman's going around and he wants to break into a new client. When he makes that first presentation, in most cases, that's 98% of the work. 98% of the job is that first presentation. Once he gets his foot into the door and he has sold that client once, unless he's some kind of total yo-yo, there's no reason why the client shouldn't buy from him again a second time. Because the fact that the client was willing to buy from him the first time, he had to already check out all his references, all the different ingredients that were needed to make a sale are all checked out on the first shot. Once the person passes all that inspection the first time, and the goods are, you know, and everything is normal, to repeat it is no big deal. It's much easier. Lahavdil in tefillah also. Once a person is able to convince themselves, without having seen any proof yet that tefillah works, to give that first tefillah with all the kavanah that's needed to make it work, once he was able to do that, if it works already, if the tefillah works already, his subsequent tefillahs are much, much easier. It's much easier for him to do it because that he got enough energy for that takeoff. Lahavdil in a rocket ship. The difficult part is getting it up in the air. Once it's up in the air, moving it, you know, keeping it moving is much easier. The inertia, you learn in physics, it's the fact that things have a nature to be standing still in one place. To move it from zero to one, that takes the maximum energy. Once it's in motion, to keep that motion, you know, continuous or something like that, is much easier. It takes some energy, but it's much easier. V'alkein, let's just finish the first paragraph. V'alkein, magia loy pishnayim b'chol ha'sheimotzei loy. And it's for this reason that the Torah says that when the father passes away, and there's possessions left over, whatever they find, b'chor asher yimotzei loy, the b'chor gets double. Ki yesh loy chelek keneged kol echod v'echod v'kanal. Because he has an equal portion corresponding to every other kid. Or put all the other kids there on one side of the scale and him on the other side, he deserves equal to all of them put together. Va'ayin b'kisvei ha'arizal, Rav Nosson Zal says, take a look in the writings of the Arizal, mevor be'inyin darkei seidois of Akdoshim, the Arizal explains according to Kabbalah, shepishnayim shenoitel habchoyer hu bechinas ein hoisha koireses bris, that this concept of a bechoyer receiving a double portion corresponds to the concept that a woman becomes mekusher to the one who makes her into the keli, to the one who has that initial, that bia rishoina. Shahu bechinas hahu rucha deshodi begavor. The Arizal quotes the Zohar Kodesh in Parshas Mishpatim, by coincidence, this past week's Parsha. That's one of the major areas in the Zohar Kodesh where it speaks about the topic of Gilgal, reincarnation, and it speaks about the topic of Yibum, especially the mitzvah where when a brother passes away and the second brother has an obligation to marry the other brother's wife and produce a child from there, and that child that's going to be produced is going to be a tikkun for the brother that passed away. In the Zohar HaKadosh, there's a section called Sovo Kadisha, where there was a certain very old man, I believe it's Rav Hamnuna Sovo, whom it's brought that he came to the students of Rav Shimon Yochai Zal, they met him, and he gave them a major, major shiur on this topic of Gilgul and relations between husband and wife and children being born, to understand how that whole topic works spiritually, al pi Kabbalah. And that's where he mentions, he coins this phrase, this hahu rucha deshodi begavor, that there is a certain ruach that's injected into the woman the first time. And that, in other words, when she's formed into a keli, until then there was a wall up where it wasn't a keli, it wasn't a receptacle, nothing could be. If I have a cup and there's a wall on top of it, can you pour into anything into that cup? It's not called a keli anymore if it's sealed on top. Once the seal is broken, that's when the cup is called. You have a tuna fish can, lahavdil, on Shabbos. The tuna fish can is a keli, it's not a keli. When you unscrew the top, when you start opening the top, you made it into a keli, because now something can be put into it. Before, when it was sealed, when the can was sealed completely, you couldn't put anything into it. So that making it into a keli, the Zohar HaKadosh says that at that time there's a ruach, the shodi begavor, that makes all kinds of things happen. The bia, shehu b'china soid ha'yibum, the Zohar HaKadosh relates this to the topic of Yibum, ki mehahu rucha deshodi begavor bebiyah rishoina, because it's from that ruach which the husband injects into the wife from the first bia, mishom tzrichen lekabel kol ha'hoilodoy shel kol abonim, that all the subsequent children that are going to be born have to draw from that ruach. They have to receive from that ruach. The ikar mikabel habchoyer. And the Zohar Kodesh says that the main piece of that goes to the Bechoyer. V'chol habonim sheboim achakach mekablim al yodoi. All the children that are born subsequently receive via the Bechoyer. Alkein magia loy pishnayim. That's why it's only right that the Bechoyer receive a double portion. Ayin shom, look in the writings of the Arizal, where the Arizal proves this al pi Kabbalah. He explains the Yichud Yisoid of Imo and Bina in his terminology. He explains all of this. The Chol Hadvorim Hoele Mevuorim Ato Al Pi Darkenu Bederech HaPoshut LuUvdu LaMaisa. Rav Nosson Zal says here, if you look at that piece in the writings of the Arizal, you'll see that what he presents as all kinds of mystical hocus pocus, in a sense, you would say, based on what we explained here, you could understand it on a simple level. And you could understand how to apply it to yourself in your own service of Hashem. The Arizal talks in terms of the spheroids, so you don't know how does that have anything to do with me? And the way that Rav Nosson Zal explained it, you understand the application in your own tefillah, your own nisoyon in breaking the ice in tefillah, and how that first one is the most important part, etc., etc. Al pidrochenu b'derech haposhut l'uvdo l'maisa l'ischazek b'tefillah tomud, to give the person the ability to strengthen himself in tefillah constantly. Rav Nosson Zal now adds a note, ube'emes hakoil echod. The truth is that the Arizal's version of the Torah, with all the Kabbalah, and the version that we're talking here, the Derech HaChassidus, or Musar, or Lamaisa, is all really one. Kigam Pnimius Kavonas Arizal Chulahovei Lidei Maisa. Because the innermost intention of the Arizal wasn't that people should be walking around with their feet not touching the ground, smoking funny cigarettes. That wasn't what the Arizal wanted, that people should be talking in hocus-pocus in Kabbalistic terms and bumping into walls. That's what he wrote the writings of the Arizal for. He wrote the writings of the Arizal to make people more religious, to make people serve Hashem better. There are some people who make the mistake, they get enthralled or impressed by the Kabbalistic terms, and they don't know that they might be missing the point. They might be missing the pnimius of his kavona. It's ridiculous to say that the Arizal wrote it as a mental exercise. You know, that this is like a class in philosophy, havdil, or a class in scientific guess. Baloney. If the Arizal wrote it, he wrote it for one purpose, to bring people close to Hashem. Period. Elamai, Rav Nosson Zal saying, the people that learn Torah the right way are able to see through it and are able to get past that initial stage and understand the chokhmah, the religion in the Kabbalah. Ubinyan ze yesh harbe ledaber. Rav Nosson Zal says there's a lot to say about this. Achi and nitvas mize eze hisnoitetzus. Believe kol chad kefumanda meshar belibe. Until a drop of this will enter into the person's heart, each person on their level, and they'll understand the significance of this. They'll understand how not to separate between the two. Now, before we take questions, just one or two points to understand that this is the concept also of Tchilas HaChassidus, which is discussed. It's brought that Kol HaScholeis Koshois, the most difficult part in anything is the beginning, when you're first starting something. And it's brought that for that reason, Hashem gives a person extra help at that time, siyata d'shmaya. There's no way that the person would be able to do it on their own, their first steps of becoming religious. So the first step, impossible. So a person is given extra help from above for that. There's a pasuk that says, Hu yinahagenu almus. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKodesh says, he puts those two words together, almus, he puts it together, makes one word from it. Almus, as one word, means like a small child. That kaviyochel Hashem leads a person into Yiddishkeit the same way parents lead a small child into learning how to walk. That at first they hold both hands at a kid and give the kid tremendous support during the initial stage. Then slowly, slowly, at the right time, they let go of one hand and they let go of both hands. Kaviyochel, in religion also, when a person is first going to start coming close to Hashem, Hashem understands that that's the most difficult part, and therefore Hashem gives a person tremendous help from above. A certain rocket fuel, which sometimes people feel it or know about it. If they'll think back, they'll remember that when they first became frum, there was a tremendous heavenly assistance in a certain way, whether it manifested itself in that the person was able to learn for 6 hours straight or 10 hours, you know, different things, or stay up late at night or whatever it is to do what they wanted to do initially, and it lasts a certain period of time and then it dries up, like, and then suddenly the person is like back to step one on the ladder and has to start climbing again from the beginning. Here, and Rabbeinu Zal, Likutei Moran, mentions many times that a Jew has to always remember that Tchilas HaChassidus and draw on that, because that's your major, major success in Yiddishkeit, is that beginning. And very often, when a person has all kinds of yiridus, if they'll remember that beginning, it'll give them what they need to continue. Rav Nosson Zal, Likutei Halachos, says that that's the side of the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh HaKodoshim on Yom Kippur, where he would say, Achas, Achas V'Achas, Achas U'Shtayim. Whoever heard of a ridiculous way of counting like that? One, one plus one, one plus... You count. One, two, three, four... Even Hunana knows that. So how come the Kohen Gadol counts Achas, Achas, V'Achas? Rav Nosson Zal writes in the Kotei Halachos, Yom Kippur is tshuva. Yom Kippur is tshuva. And a person has to know that in tshuva, or in coming close to Hashem, you're always going to have to draw on that beginning. The beginning is the major, major success. And you're always going to have to go back, even when you're up to six, And you want to go to seven? It's got to be achas vosheish. You got to draw on the energy and strength and everything of that beginning to get to the next level always. So too with the Hanukkah candles, Rav Nosson Zal brings on Likutei Halachos. With the Hanukkah candles, we're always going back to each time we're lighting the first night one candle, the second night it's that one plus a new one. The third night it's the first one plus an additional two, and we're always going back to that first one, going back to the beginning to draw from there. That's another variation of what he's talking about here. It seems that the concept of his chachos, where we say a person should approach every day as if today is the beginning, his first beginning, on one hand they are related. On one hand they are related, because that means that again you're going to summon up, you're going to go into the battle fresh and try to summon up all of that new energy, ignoring the failures of the past. Not to ignore the successes of the past. Here we're being told about getting tremendous chizuk, that if you davened once before and your tefillah was successful, to use that momentum to add more tefillahs. But in terms of if chas v'shalom a person has any negative things in the past, to forget that and, you know, move forward. Question is related to the children of Yaakov Avinu. Who's the Bechor? Is it Reuven or Yosef? The answer is, it's both. Yaakov Avinu had two wives, Leah and Rachel. Yosef is the Bechor from Rachel, and Reuven is the Bechor from Leah. And if Yaakov Avinu would have married Rachel first, then Yosef HaTzadik would have been the uncontested Bechor, and then there wouldn't have been all the problems of the battles with the brothers and everything. They wouldn't have gone down to the Sifrei Kabbalah bring that's why Lavan worked so hard to trick Yaakov Avinu into marrying Leah first. Who cares if he was going to get both of them anyway? What was the big deal? The big deal was that he knew that if he marries Leah first, a child will be produced from Leah first, the Bechor will come from her, and that'll cause the whole upheaval with the brothers. That'll make it that the son, the firstborn son of Rachel, isn't necessarily the big shot. He's a second-class citizen at best. And that's where all the trouble started, which led to Mitzrayim, and we're way off topic. Let's get back on topic. Hashem says one of the things that he loves, where he made his major commitment to Klal Yisrael, was Lechtech Acharai Bamidbor Be'eretz Lo Yizarua. The fact that they were willing to follow me into the desert, you know, into total emptiness, you know, on faith, that was one of the things that made the initial tremendous kesher between Hashem and Am Yisrael. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Oisvov, V'yalkein ein ha-bechoyer noitel boroi kibemuchzok. This is now Rav Nosson Zal is going back to the Shulchan Aruch a little. The Shulchan Aruch says, what if you have a situation like this? A father passes away, and there's certain possessions that he has at the time, an estate that's worth $100,000. But there's other monies which are due to come to the father, which haven't come in yet. Let's say there's dividends on stocks or other things that are due to come in that right now are not present at the time that the father passed away. That's called roy. They're roy to come. They're supposed to be coming, but they're not here right now. Whereas muchzuk means that he's holding on to it right now. These are the possessions that the father has at the moment of death. So the Shulchan Aruch says that when it comes to the roy, the stuff that's supposed to be coming in, there the Bechor doesn't get any double portion. He only gets a double portion of what's there at the time that the father passed away. Rav Nosson Zal explains now. Ki kishahashefa roy lovoy adai, because when the Shefa is supposed to be coming, but isn't here yet, Adayin lo nigmar hakli b'shleimus, that shows that the keli for that is not yet sholem. Otherwise, if the keli was sholem, the Shefa would be there already. The fact that this Shefa isn't here now implies that the keli for that Shefa isn't yet b'shleimus. The ikra mailas habechor hu b'muchzak. The main advantage that the Bechor has is in the stuff that's here already. Dahainu b'hashefa shekvar nimshecho b'shleimus lamato al yidei shleimus hakli ad shenizchaz getzloi b'shleimus. The shefa that's in the father's possession that has been drawn below already through a keli sholem to the point where it became the father's possessions In that, the Bechor is a Yichus. In that, the Bechor represents something special. Ki b'maylas shleimus ha'kli anal yesh la ha'bechor chelik yoyser keneged kol echad v'echad kanal. Because regarding the shleimus of the keli, which we said is dependent on emuna, and we said the most important emuna is the initial emuna, that first emuna, before you saw any results yet, in that the Bechor has an edge over everybody else. Aval kisharoi lovoi, whereas in the stuff that's expected, it's gonna be coming, she'adayin loy nigmar akli, which at this point in time the keli is not nigmar, ein la ha'bechor maila boy kanal. There the Bechor is no yichus, he's not better than the other brothers, Al-Kain ein noitel boy pishnayim the kanal. Therefore he does not get pishnayim. In other words, we were told, what's the Bechor's specialness? His specialness is that he represents the making of the keli, that biyah rishoina, a baruchnius, that same result, that's what he represents. So in the possessions that are there, the implication is that the keli is there, the Bechor had a piece of it. In possessions that are destined to be coming, in that the Bechor has he didn't do anything yet to form the kli any more than anybody else.